Well, there's The Wanderer, and that's the lead single off the latest recording by Stephen Maggio, Legends, Myths, and Lavender. We're playing that chart topper for very good reason here this afternoon. You're listening to The Oasis on the New Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore, our look at arts and culture. Multiple Grammy and Academy Award nominated Stephen Maggio is here. The Canadian was raised in the Niagara region and attended Western University, studying classical music and piano. He was accepted to Berkeley, then went into session musician work, producing, arranging, and composing, played jazz clubs, and sat in with the TSO. Then he started moving around, spending time in Toronto, of course, but also Nashville, Los Angeles, and New York. Through the 90s, he wrote major television themes and worked songwriting projects with Celine Dion, Sarah Brightman and Josh Groban, as well Nicki Yanofsky, The Tenors, Miley Cyrus, The Weeknd, and Andrea Bocelli. Here at Classical FM, we took notice in 2020 when Stephen Maggio released the first of three piano recordings that have enjoyed worldwide streaming success. Meditative, introspective, and melodic, it saw millions of streams. Then Lionheart arrived in 2021 to similar acclaim. In 2024, he made it a trio with Legends, Myths, and Lavender. It would debut at number one on the Canadian classical charts. He recorded it over a month at a chateau studio in Provence, located in southeastern France. Stephen Maggio will perform at the Royal Theatre on October 6th, right here in Toronto. Tickets at stephenmaggio.com, Ticketmaster, or theroyal.to. Stephen Maggio, we've chatted on the phone over the years, but great to have you here in person.
It's so great to be here, Mark. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about The Wanderer, because that's the first piece that we heard from this project, and it took me on a journey as soon as I heard it. It felt like a lovely introduction to this album.
Thank you. Wanderer was one of the earlier pieces. As you mentioned, I spent the better part of a month in Provence composing. That melody came to me, I think, on day three or day four. And I quickly became obsessed with it.
Right.
I battled my own demons in the recording process sometimes because I was producing. I always produce my own albums. So I think I recorded over 50, 55 takes of that just to get the tempo right.
That's interesting. So not only for tempo, are you playing around with microphones at that point?
Is
that
sort of the mix? Exactly. If you listen to the actual Wanderer itself, that song, we purposely kept the frequencies. I have a heavy foot on my left, my pedaling foot, sometimes even my right foot. And there's a thump. The thump was beating in time with the song.
Right.
And so we just kept a little bit of the bass frequencies up just to give it that rhythmic element.
Huh.
But the Wanderer is a personal song and in many ways maybe mirrored my journey there, and it was coming of age experience for me at Miravel.
Such a beautiful introduction to this album. And let's go back to 2019, 2018, 2020. Why you sit down at the piano and decide to make these types of records? What was going on at that time?
I just wanted to reduce life for me. Yeah. I was, you know, like you said, I was a classical musician working in the pop field, and I had experienced some incredible moments with some great acts. But just the balance of keeping that up in Los Angeles was just wearing me down, honestly. And I felt for the last few years prior to me coming out with those piano albums that we're talking about, I felt like I was no longer being who I truly was and didn't need to pursue music. You know, I made it, if you will, in the industry. And I just had, I was able to sort of say, if I don't come back to it now, I will never do that. And I felt responsible to kind of do the right thing.
That is something that comes with age, right? You have this
only with age,
success,
I think. Yeah.
And you complete these things you wanted to do, and then you go, well, what?
Exactly.
What else am I going to do?
What else am I going to do? You come back. You always end up where you started.
Right.
I said, you know what? Let me go into a room. I redirected and redid my studio in LA at the time to simulate an apartment, like a bachelor apartment, if you will, just with an upright piano and a piece of felt. That's the important part. My pianos are felted. For those of us who don't understand that, it creates that velvety, chocolatey sound.
Right.
That,
a little bit of a muted sound.
Introspective.
Yeah.
With this particular genre in the neoclassical world. I went in there for a couple of weeks and played. And for Tales of Solace, that first album, just recorded hours and hours of music and then eventually just ended up choosing the best, most emotive and raw and honest moments. And it became that pandemic.
Yes,
album.
I remember, and we talked twice on the phone because that's how you did it in those
right.
days. You say of the latest, and I'm going to quote you here, these melodies are stories of romance, tragedy, fantasy, seduction, conflict, and hope. The compositions recalibrated my spirit and the values which I lost along the way in pursuit of the wrong things. Now, that's about as vulnerable a line as I've read to promote a record and pointing out that you were headed in the wrong direction. I thought it was quite a statement.
I think I had to call myself on it first. If I wasn't brave enough or courageous enough to say it out loud, then I wouldn't hold myself accountable to it. Does that make sense?
What were the wrong things? What were the things?
I just think after, you know, every hit song that I was part of or co-writing came from an honest place. But then after that, the machine kicks in and they want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
When the machine asks for it, it becomes disingenuous, right? So it's not coming from a place of, I feel like I've got to put this melody or this piece of art out, rather than producing just more en masse. And the best of us all get trapped in that, but not all of us are able to escape it.
Yeah.
There was a moment where I was in London, England of all places, recording orchestra and strings for a Celine Dion album called Courage. I was producing the album. And that was it for me. I came back to my hotel room. It was a good classical story. And I heard Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending.
Beautiful piece of music.
Yeah, one of my favorite pieces.
When I have time, I can play it.
Well said.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, it was one of my favorite recordings. It was the early 1970s recording of Sir Neville Mariner.
Right. Celebrating 100 years of that man this year. How about that?
Oh, glorious. 100
years of Sir Neville Mariner.
I'm such a fan. And I just got emotional that night, and I said, I'm going to come back to the piano. And I did right then and then. That was the last big album I did for a while. Einaudi and Richter were doing their things.
Yeah.
And I'm label mates with both of them and have such deep respect for both artists. Here we are now with over a billion streams.
Over a billion streams. So we look at the three records, the latest being Legends, Mists, and Lavender, all very thoughtful recordings. Have you been able to build off of each record in any way, or does it feel like one big project?
No, I try to record when I feel like I've got something to say.
Right.
And that's all it was. So this last album, Legends, I wanted a different story to it. I wanted to go into deep monk mode, if you will, like just be away from everything and reclaim, as cliche as it is, reclaim my own voice, spiritual voice, musical voice. I didn't want to be drowned in opinions of other people.
Right.
And it was good. It was like a therapeutic. It was cathartic in many ways. Yeah.
Tell us about how you're going to program this October 6th concert, Royal Theater. You've got this tour going on. And I guess Toronto, you're a little more regular here these days.
I am.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, slowly but surely, I'm making a lot more trips back home and I'm loving it. The Toronto show for me, and like many of my Canadian shows coming up, are going to be just a soiree of intimacy. There's a lot of storytelling because
nice.
I do have inspiration and try to break that facade, that wall between, you know, the classical musician and the audience. Just, I want it to be more inclusive. The venues I've chosen are highly intimate as well. It's me and a piano. And I'll break down perhaps even some of the pop songs and show their beginnings in my classical roots.
Right.
Because a lot of them do stem from my classical influences.
I'm fascinated because we mentioned some of the names off the top, the Miley Cyruses, Celine Dion, Andrea Bocelli. I mean, just a huge weekend. So you look at the state of pop music right now, the music industry, what you're doing with a billion streams of this piano music, and also this looming subject that seems to come up for a lot of creators right now, which is artificial intelligence. Mm. And it's, we're hearing some of the biggest names in music talking about it, figuring out where we're headed. I mean, you're so attached to the inner workings of the music industry. I'd be fascinated to hear what you have to say about it.
I mean, knock on wood.
It's a big one.
Yeah, I'm not spooked by it yet.
Mm.
Not, at least not in music. I've heard iterations. I've heard extraordinary stuff created by AI, but I haven't necessarily heard anything that has moved me.
Right.
And I'm really old-fashioned when it comes to that. I know, even though I've been involved with pop, I am a classical musician, and that's why I came back to playing a wood instrument for these albums. I really believe in the human condition and the human heart and, you know, our bleeding hearts as human beings. So it's one thing to say it's creating sounds and can put sounds and metadata and ones and O's and binary just information to create something that sounds, how does one say, maybe impressive, but is it sound emotional and is it sound memorable? I haven't heard anything yet. On the writing side, that's a whole different thing.
Okay.
Even from like an author's perspective and how they're able to form some really poetic sentences. And that's, I've seen some scary stuff there.
Right.
And I've got children now in school and I just kind of always check if they're ChatGPTing their stuff. So let's see.
Yeah. I mean, just the copyright, the, like you say, the whether that be lyrics, whether that be melody, whether that be putting together entire songs. It's a pretty fascinating moment. We have loved these records. And just a reminder, Legends, Mists, and Lavender, you can listen to it wherever you enjoy music. Recorded over a month at the Chateau Studio in Provence in southeastern France. October 6th is that date at the Royal Theater here in Toronto. Tickets at stephanmacchio.com, Ticketmaster, or theroyal.to. So let's listen to Lavender Fields. Tell us about this piece of music.
Every night around golden hour between, say, 5 and 7 o'clock, I would take a walk after a long day recording. I'd just reflect, and I sometimes would vlog, and I would take these long walks on the 2,000-plus acres of land that I had available to me, and they were fields. A lot of them were fields of lavender.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't help but sort of be seduced.
It's interesting. I mean, to be seduced by that scene and then turn it into a melody, turn it into...
Isn't that what art is, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the times. But I it was some of my favorite times of day was the reflection time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's listen to it. Stephan Macchio, it's been a real treat. Thank you.
Mark, thank you so much.
This is Stephan Macchio and Fields of Lavender.